Welcome. I'm Victoria Schneps, publisher of Schneps Media, and a proud leader of the Power of Women podcast that we're doing today. And I am so thrilled to bring all of you, Stacy Briagos, who is the executive director of a very important community service called HANIC. And they were created out of the Greek community. And I see, you know, she is Greek and it may have helped get the job. I don't know. We'll find out. But I do know that HANIC serves the community so well. And we are proud to have you as a power woman and here on my podcast. Welcome, Stacy.
Thank you so much for your kind words, Victoria. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Wonderful visiting. And I really wanted to kind of go back in your background about, you know, growing up. I mean, you are now the head of a major organization. What's your budget?
It's over $25 million.
Well, it's a lot of money to dispense and to manage and to make sure it goes where it has to go. You've got a great mission there. Was there someone in your childhood that inspired you to be able to achieve the success, to be able to head such a major organization?
I think like many, I was inspired by both my mom and my dad. I think this is a great question, but I think when you're growing up, no one ever turns around and says, oh, my mom has inspired me when you're maybe in high school. All of a sudden you start acting a certain way and talking a certain way and giving advice a certain way. And you realize, wow, the advice that your parents gave you a long time ago has really stuck, not only to the point that you're taking it, but you're actually dispensing it as well. So I think certainly both my parents, my brother and I were the first to go to college. And so it was impressed upon us that not only were we going to go to college, we were going to go to grad school. My brother is a physician. I am an attorney. I think the running joke in my family was that they wanted another child just so that he could become a priest, so they could have all three jobs available to them. But I think it was definitely my parents and my family.
Well, you know, I think that being a family where education is treasured, as well as faith.
Yes.
I had met Jim McCann, who it runs 1-800-FLOWERS, and he was sharing how he met a professor of happiness. They have a course like that at Harvard. And they talked about how a happy life is one that has faith, family, friends, and that combined makes a life. And it sounds like you have that in your life.
I do. I was lucky to grow up with it, and I'm currently lucky to have it. And I don't take it for granted.
Well, that's part of the mission of having a great life, is not taking it for granted. And I know every day you pass it along under your leadership at HANIC. Share with us how HANIC has evolved and who it's serving now and the kind of sweet spots and what you see for the future of HANIC.
Sure. So HANIC started in 1972 by Mr. George Doris and his wife, Miss Evangeline Doris. It originally started to meet the needs of the Greek community coming here from Greece. There was a big migration in the 1970s. So in the beginning, the first two programs were an ESL program and a senior center. Now we have over 40 programs, and I'll divide the programs into three separate groups. It's older adults. That's your senior centers. We have a bus service for individuals so that they can go back and forth to medical appointments. Then you've got programs that encompass family and adults. We still have our ESL program. We have a family and child counseling program. We have a weatherization program to help low-income individuals that own homes make their homes more eco-friendly. And then we have youth programs. Most of our youth programs are located in DOE schools, PS or IS, throughout Queens and New York City. So we have an array of different types of social service programs. In addition to, we have 650 units of senior affordable housing. We are very big on supporting our older adult community, and we want them to stay in the communities that they've built and age with dignity and respect. And we find that individuals in the older adult community live on a fixed income, and so will also ultimately be faced with, do I buy groceries for the week, or do I pay my Con Ed bill, or do I pay rent? And so we do senior affordable housing. We have an additional, I would say, another 1,000 units slated to be developed in the next 4 to 5 years.
Wow. So, and it's all family senior. Is it all for one, that demographic of seniors?
Yes, it is all for seniors.
Interesting. You know, I think that with the new administration coming in, we're all a little concerned about the DOE and affecting potentially all your programs that you do in the schools. So you have a contract with DOE to provide after school programming, because that's you know, such a core responsibility to make sure kids are not on the street.
The contract is with DYCD, Department of Youth and Community Development, and the location is in DOE schools because it would make sense after school for individuals just to come and for us to help with their homework and to run various activities. We do have contracts with them, so we are not worried. And I think the administration, whoever they are, meaning whoever the new elected mayor chooses, I think they will ultimately see the value in these after school programs.
Well, you know, when you talk about daycare, you know, the whole point of being able to enable people to work is that they've got to have childcare.
Yeah, 100%. And these individuals not only stay with us, but are able that your those parents are able to work knowing that these kids are being supervised, they're being helped with their homework, and then they can come pick them up at the end of the day. And that's after 3 o'clock. That's more like 5, 6.
Well, you know, it's funny, when I started my newspaper, I started in my living room with four children and Dreaming a Prayer with my one paper. And, you know, I had to have someone help me after school. And my kids went right across the street. There was a Y. And that kind of enabled me to work.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think it's imperative for parents, whether it's your single mom or your single dad or you're a family of two incomes, it doesn't matter. I think it's important to have a place where your child can go. And you also, as a parent, I think it's even more important to trust that that individual is being supervised correctly, right? They're not out on the street doing God knows whatever they're doing. Because at the end of the day, they're kids. So they have the ability to get in trouble, whether they meant to or not. So I think this is very, very important.
So when you do the after school programs, I'm fascinated by it, because you know, I was a teacher in my first life, and you know, I feel my newspaper is a way to educate people. What do you see in the communities as the greatest need, and what you would like to be seeing Hanek be able to be more engaged with the community?
We've learned early on that individuals, whether young kids or older adults, there's no one size fits all. So some individuals need more help after school in terms of their homework. Others, you find that their parents, unfortunately, are neglecting them because they're working too much, etc. So I think when you're dealing with children, the needs vary per student. I think every student needs an opportunity to be heard, to be seen, and an opportunity to thrive in whatever topic they're good at, right? And so you have some students really excelling in STEM classes. You've got other students excelling in other types of classes. And I think the moment you see a person that has certain strengths, I think it's important to encourage that student to continue those studies.
Well, do you have a sports program after school? Is that part of one of the services?
It is, they end up doing certain sports activities, but not, it's not an actual sports service per se.
Well, the gym is there, I assume, if you're in a school, right?
Yes, I just it that's not the contract necessarily we have with the DYCD, so they might be able to get some exercise in, but it won't be the entire 3 hours of us
I'm very big
part
on
time.
believing that kids need a physical activity
I
after
agree with
school all
you.
day, you know, and that's a great thing if you can be providing that for after school, that that's one of their choices. Because where do you see a need that you're not meeting that you'd like to meet?
One of the things HANAC does not do, and we don't provide LGBTQ plus services specifically for individuals that have certain needs. And so one of the things that I'd love to explore with HANAC is to increase that population. But I want to do it respectfully and thoughtfully. And so at this moment in time, we do not have any of those services, but I think that's certainly a need that I'd love to explore.
What about people with special needs and disabilities? Do you work with any people in the autism spectrum?
I think it depends on the spectrum where they fall. If that student is in one of our programs, we work with them. If they're not in one of, because you have to be in the program for us to work. Just because you're in the school doesn't necessarily mean you're in the program. And so if they're in the program, we work with them no matter what their developmental disability is.
You know, it's interesting. I was speaking with a man who was a builder, and he is mandated with his housing to have some apartments put aside for people with disabilities. Have you heard about that? Is there anything in the city when you are doing, I heard you saying you're going to create more housing. Is there anything in that for people with disabilities?
We do that for seniors. That individual would be open to receiving a unit if they had certain requirements for us, because it has to be, they have to meet financial requirements and they have to meet an age requirement for us. So it's those requirements might be different for us than with this other developer that you discussed.
Yeah, no, I thought that was interesting. I never had heard of that before. When it's to get approvals, he had to use some of those apartments for that particular population. Like you're talking about the LGBT, you know, there's housing needs around a particular community sometimes. And I'm very involved with people with special needs and disabilities. So it's a sweet spot for me. But I, you know, how do you use your law degree? Are you finding that having that wonderful education somewhere in the back, you know, not necessarily practicing directly, but the skill set?
Yeah, it definitely helps me 100% every time I some a document a contract comes across my desk, because I'm the one signing the contract. I'm the one negotiating. So anytime that those come across my desk, I certainly know what a trap is. And although I actually don't do legal work for our organization, I certainly can have more frank conversations with our attorneys to say, I don't like this paragraph. You need to do something about it. Or I really like this. Or I'm more. And I think also because I have a law degree, sometimes individuals, because we're dealing with contractors, we're dealing with other developers, and I think they take me a little bit more seriously because I certainly know my way around negotiating in a con and dealing with contracts.
Well, women power—they, you know, sometimes we're underestimated, but watch out,
I
right?
mean, I think I love it when I'm underestimated. I don't know about you, but I enjoy it. I find it hysterical and funny because they're the ones that are going to suffer, not me. So I just find it absolutely hysterical when someone underestimates us.
So, what do you do for fun? What's your, you know, avocation, so to speak?
I have to tell you, I found a kickboxing gym near my house, and I kickbox. I try and kickbox 7 days a week. Sometimes that's not doable, but I really enjoy that outlet to just to get all the steam out, all the pressure. I really, really just enjoy that outlet. With the exception of also, we talked about it a little bit. I'm very big on family. I love my family. I spend time with my nieces and nephews and my brother and my mom and. So my sister-in-law, and so family is important to me. So if I'm not seeing my friends, if I'm not seeing my family, I'm usually kickboxing. And then I have a little tiny dog that I absolutely adore. So he's involved in all the family functions as well.
I love it. Well, you know, this traveling from law school to the position you have, working for the city and now working for Hanek, you've had a great path upward and success. Can you give us some keys to success that you could share with our listeners?
Sure. I think the first key is, and I've always been taught this, just for the job you want, not the job you have. I remember getting an internship, my first internship at a law office, and I was the only one in a suit. And everybody would make fun of me, but I didn't care because this is, I took it seriously. I took it very seriously. And I think that dress for the job you want, not the job you have, I find a lot of interns now are just a little bit more laid back. And I was never laid back when it came to my career. The other thing that I've always been taught, and this came from my parents, was just work really, really hard and do the best you can, but just work very, very hard for you. Like I never looked at another person. I was never in competition with another person. I was always in competition with myself. Like, could I have done better on that test? If I couldn't have done better on that test, fine. But if I could, then that was my lesson of why didn't I put that work in at that point? There were some things that I was excelling at more than others. For example, science. I was never a good science student. I was always a good math student. So when I didn't, let's say I just to this to nowadays, you'll see some kids saying I got a 90. When I would get a 90 in math, my parents would say, "What do you mean? Why did you get a 90? Why couldn't you get 100?" Because I was that good in math. When I got an 85 in science, they were like, "Woohoo, she got an 85," because they knew I would struggle with science. I just wasn't getting the material the same way I was getting it in math. So for me anyway, I was always in competition with myself, and I think that my parents certainly put that in myself to say, "Okay, what could I do better?" Every time I do a deal, every time I have a conversation, whether it's a good conversation, a bad conversation, I'll always reflect to say, "What could I have done better? How could I have brought more passion and compassion?" Because I think when you're dealing with people, whether it's another developer when we're closing a deal, when we're dealing with clients actually getting our services, I think empathy is definitely needed. And I think so that I think working really, really hard and doing the best you can for you. And then the last thing I have to say, the advice that I've gotten is your intention rules your life. And I've seen it for myself. When you don't have good intentions, things just turn out bad. And when I come to the table, I could say something a really bad thing to somebody, like give them bad news. But because I'm coming to the table with good intentions and they see that, they're not blaming me. They're not doing, they're taking it in stride. And so always your intention rules your life. Those are the big three that I live by. I don't know necessarily, I don't have any kids. I don't know necessarily if, this is being passed down to other generations nowadays. But I know if I had kids, I would absolutely be drilling this in their head.
Well, I think you've given us some great food for thought because I wrote it down. I love this passion and compassion and empathy. Those are my favorite things of what you shared, and I get it about the good intentions. So I am so thrilled to have been having Stacey Liagos, Executive Director of Hanek, with us today and giving us and sharing with us her life's mission as well as her insight into being successful. So, congratulations, Stacey.
Thank you so much, Vicky. Thank you very, very much for all the work that you've done as well.
Thank you. And this is Victoria Schnepp signing off. Until next time, bye now.